Suji Gate series. Okay, so this is one thing. And how it's connected with the geometry of the three manifolds. Well, it's not necessary geometry. We can do talk about quantum corrections, etc. So I call this 3D SL to R Chan-Simon theory. Or if you like a more geometrical language, which corresponds to the semi-classical limit of the theory, the three manifolds, the geometry of three manifolds, or geometry of three manifolds. But before talking about this, I'd like to give you a little bit of overview of why I'm interested in this. And well, now is the time when LHC is discovering a lot of, haven't discovered Higgs yet, but a lot of, we have heard a lot about the exciting experiments at LHC. And now, as a former theorist, the question is what we are going to do now. And of course, depending on perspective, there are different things to do. But I think one thing we can think about it is the problem, very old problem of supersymmetric gate series. And of course, supersymmetric gate series has a lot of history of more than 35 years, and it was invented even before I was born. But what's surprising about supersymmetric gate theory is that there are some interesting new developments still in this field, still after 30 years, maybe 35 years after the discovery. And one interesting result is about the exact computation of the supersymmetric series based on compact manifolds. And what I mean by this, I start from 4D n equal 4 series, or not 4D equal 4, 4D series. Well, there are various different quantities you can compute, depending on the number of supersymmetries, depending on dimensions, etc. But one quantity which you can compute is the 4D partition function of, it's like the 4D partition for n equal 2 series, for example, on S4. Or if you want to study 4D series, you can prepare four manifold, and then another candidate, good candidate, is S1 times S3. And this is known as a superconformal index. And since it's, what's interesting about this case is that if you have S1, then you can turn on a lot of chemical potentials. And so there are chemical potentials. So it's a function, it's not just a number. And you can compute it, since it's an index, so it's a superconformal index, and you can compute it by going to the free field limit, etc. And, there are another quantities, which is the 3D n equal 2 series. And you put it on S3 and compute the partition function. Again, you have a certain number. Or more generally, this 3D n equal 2 series has a set of parameters, like a mass parameters, FI parameters. So this is going to be a function of these parameters. Or you have 3D n equal 2 series on S1 times S2. And again, you put down some chemical potentials. So this here is going to be, and the interesting thing about this quantity is that, of course, it's easy to formally define as a path integral. But what's interesting about these is that we can compute these things exactly. Exactly meaning these are first leading as a path integral, but now that there is a localization computations procedure, it shows that these reduce to the computations in the matrix integral. So they're going to become the finite dimensional integral, so we can compute it. And these have powerful techniques to study these series. For example, there are a lot of dualities. Say, for example, there are 3D mirror symmetries, which have discovered in the 90s. And we can compute these partition functions, these superconformal indices, this is also index, and partition function, and try to see if they really match. And if they match, it's quite often quite miraculous identities of special functions, and then they're going to provide checks of this dualities between in 4D and 3D series. And well, and more, well, but these are the quantities. But sometimes we can make a connection between these quantities. For example, if you start from 4D and equal, say, 1 series. For the most cases, it's model content is pretty general. For example, let's say, so for example, in this case, we have just a chance sum, gauge coupling chance sum time, model time, etc. And as long as it's 3D and equal too. So it's rather general. I mean, the same is true for all these cases.
When you say for n equals 1, you can only do S1 cross S3 as opposed to S4?
I don't have a simple explanation for that, but I'm glad to have some simple intuitive explanation why the computation doesn't work for 4D n equal 1. But at least, what we do in these cases is that start on the Lagrangian. First of all, the Lagrangian in the first space, and we try to put the theory on the curved manifold. So the Lagrangian itself is corrected, supersymmetric transformation is corrected. If you denote the radius of this S4, there is going to be one of our corrections to everything. And like to first find the supersymmetric transformation, Lagrangian, et cetera, such that everything, for example, Sugi transformation closes off. And then once you find the supersymmetric transformation, then you can choose the appropriate Q exact terms, up Q exact terms to the Lagrangian. And then you have to choose that carefully. And after that, you can do the standard localization computations. And this first integral reduces the sum over the subtle points, which in this case, are the integral. So we're going to have an integral arising from that. And the good thing about this, for example, about these manifolds, are that they are conformal flat. So, I mean, in order to lighten supersymmetry transformations, we need Keating spinners. But these are conformal flat, so we have a conformal Keating spinners. And using that, we can lighten the supersymmetry transformation. So all that requires a careful analysis. Many of the analysis in these cases are similar, but details are slightly different depending on various dimensions and various manifolds you can consider. Depending on series, we can construct such a lot of quantities, compute them. And there are some interesting relations between them. For example, if you start... let's see. Well, actually, that's also a good question because, for example, this quantity is usually called the superconformal index, and it's defined in order to extract some quantities which are invariant at the marginal deformations of the 4D, say, n equal 1 superconformal Q-series. But actually, these quantities can be computed for series which are not conformal in the UV and close to non-trivial fixed point in the IR. Because, as I said, the procedure, for example, in this case, there are two different ways of computing that. The first is go to the free field limit, saying that this is the index, so it's invariant under the continuous deformation, we can go to the free field limit, and then everything becomes a little bit trivial, not completely trivial, but trivial computations. That's one way. But another way is to do this localization, as a thing. And if you look at the localization computation, you really see that you don't really necessarily need the conformal inverse, superconformal invariance at the UV, for example. So you can compute that for. And that's how people check this Dirac duality for the n equal 1 series. These series are different and it's not conformal on the UV, but you can compute these quantities on the UV and then try to mass say that. And then what's interesting about these quantities is that, in general, say these gauge series have gauge coupling in the Lagrangian, but these quantities are, these quantities don't depend on
The one on the left does.
Yeah, that's right. These quantities, for example, are, as I said, the index, so they don't depend on that. So, and
this. Can you remind us why
it's an index?
Is it because of this S1 factor?
Oh, well, actually, because I define the index, this partition function as literally as an index, so maybe I should simply, if you like, I should call this index, index of I4. Ideally, define the index as a...
It's just because of this S1 factor, right?
Yes, that's right. So because of the S1 factor, we can turn a non-trivial twist along S1. And I was talking about this Keating spinners, et cetera, so I have to make sure that these boundary conditions twist are consistent with these spinners. And then there are some operators. Well, for example, there are energies, the free energy, anyway. Spins, etc., R charges, maybe, no, no, but anyway, the details don't matter too much, but anyway, if you like, I can write on the more formula. For example, Well, the formulas are not important. It's just that there are spins, energy, spins, R charges. There's going to be, for example, chemical potential for the n equal to super Kolmogorov index. And what's interesting about these quantities is that there is another interesting thing about these quantities. Sometimes there is a connection between these two. So if you start from 4D n equal 1 series, and we can compactify S1 times S3. And if you start, even if you start on super conformal field theory, then the resulting theory is not conformal because there is an explicit scale involved in this S1, but you can go to IR, and there's going to be some non-trivial 3D, if you start on 4D n equal 1, 3D n equal 2 theory in the infrared. And then there's a systematic deduction procedure starting from the 4D n equal 1 theory index and go to the 3D n equal 2 partition function of the same theory dimension reduced on S1. And then there is a, well, it's roughly speaking just a Kautz prime deduction where you neglect all the modes of S1. But sometimes you have some interesting chemical potentials which you can turn on, which corresponds to some deformation of one parameter deformation, one parameter which I will just be here of this S3. Or you can actually go to this direction by dividing S3 by Zp, where Zp is acts on the S1 of the fourth vibration of this S3, and take the limit where P goes to infinity. So this Zp acts on S1 of the fourth vibration. Maybe I should get that a little bit so people can see. Anyway, so details are not too important for my talk, because as I said, I'm going to talk about this theory. But the point is that there are a lot of interesting quantities which you can compute, and there are various interesting relations between them. And this is about the world of supersymmetric theories. But there's another thing which is fascinating about the supersymmetric gauge theories these days, which is that there is a relation between supersymmetric and non-supersymmetric series. Well, relation is a little bit ambiguous word, so I'd like to make it a little bit clear. And it is come from the dimensional reduction, believed to come from the dimensional reduction of the mysterious series, six-dimensional 2,0 series. And a good example for this is that, first of all, so let's see. So let's start from 6D 2,0 series. It's a theory which is believed to exist coming from the argument of string theory. And then there's a story about reducing this on the Lehmann surface. And you have four-dimensional, there's a story by Gaiotto and his collaborators that we have a 4D n equal 2 SCFTs. Well, the details of this, some part I'm going to explain, and other parts I'm not going to explain will not be needed for this part, so please don't worry about this. But I think basically the idea is that if you start from 6D theory and compactify the Lehmann surface, you have a family of 4D n equal 2 SCFTs. The prototypical example for this is that if you have just a torus, T2, and then you have 4D n equal 4 theory, which is the simplest theory of this class, and then there is a complex structure moduli of the torus, and that's going to be identified as the complex gauge coupling of the 4D n equal 4 theory, and there is a mapping class group which changes the torus, fundamental region of the torus, and that's going to be the S-duality of 4D n equal 4 theory. And then these are the generalization of that story to arbitrary Lehmann surface with punctures and genuses. Anyway, and what's interesting about this is that there is a description of some of the quantities here in terms of 2D theory. 2D theory on the Lehmann surface. This Lehmann surface is the same Lehmann surface as here. I know 2D theory. So what kind of theory do we have? And actually that depends on what kind of quantities we are going to consider here on this side. And one quantity which you can consider is as a load, the partition function of this 4D theory. On S4, 4D theory on S4. And then the corresponding 2D theory is this is going to be the Liouville theory. And the statement, the relation in this case is that the partition function of this theory on S4 is the same as the correlation function of the Liouville theory on this Lehmann surface. And that's the story of the now called AGT story of Gaiotto-Tachikawa relation. Or you can start with other different quantities which allow index I. So I can start an index from S3 times S1. And then here we have 2D Q-deformed DMLs, although, actually, and this is a story by Gatte Stony Brook group, Gatte, Lasteri, Lazamat, Yan. Well, even for this case, not everything has been understood because there are a lot of chemical potentials here, and there are no corresponding parameters here so far, so people are trying to identify the parameters on this side. But anyway, so depending on various quantities, you can consider theory here. And it's a lot of mysterious why we have such 2D series, specific 2D series, UBU, et cetera. And it should be coming from this dimensional reduction from this 60 2.0 series. So, and it's an extremely interesting problem to see what kind of implications these relations are going to have on the 60 2.0 series. But that's not going to be the problem I'm going to discuss today. But the problem I'm going to discuss today is that, well, instead of starting with these dividing six dimensions into four and two, and we can start from 3D n equal two series, 3D n equal two SCFT. Well, it's not, it's going to be non-conformal in the UV, so but it's going to float to a non-conformal fixed point. So depending on your preference, we can call it SCFT, and so it's going to be 3D series, supersymmetric series. And these are going to be related to 3D SRMR. But for the purpose of my talk, let's specialize to a particular gauge group. So let's take this to be A1 gauge theory. I mean, when you dimension reduce, we're going to have SU2 gauge theory. And so and that corresponds to SL2R, Chan-Simon theory. And I forgot to say that this is work in collaboration with Yuji Terashima, who is a mathematician, and my paper has appeared. And actually, these papers come from, it's stimulated by these two papers. The first is by Nadav and Davide and Jama. Let's see, guy. March or April, I forgot. Anyway, and then there's the paper by Hosamichi, Lee, and Park. So these first three authors proposed a general idea, and then these three people gave a very explicit computation for that. So this is some. Sorry? Let's see. So that's what I'm going to explain. Right? But simply put, it's a relation. Well, the partition function of this 3D series, these people conjecture is the same as the duality kernels which appear in this Liouville theory here. And then these people did the explicit computation of the 3D partition function, and they verified that they are the same. But I need to explain, I mean, before coming to that. So the story is, what I want to do is to start from the three-man. Well, this is going to be a certain theory, but I said that it's a 3D Chan-Simon theory, and I hope to explain that, why it's the case. But I need to define it on a certain three-manifold, so let me call it M, where M is a three-dimensional manifold. And what we'd like to do is to give a corresponding 3D n equal two theory, Tm. But this is now becoming probably the standard notation these days, corresponding to these three manifolds.
So M is closed and compact?
Not necessarily closed, actually. It can be open. And
so it has a boundary?
Yeah, it has a boundary.
But it is, it's not an infinite,
right? It's not infinite. So for example, the prototypical example I'm talk about is the Lehmann surface times an interval, for example. So it has a boundary on the at the endpoint of the interval, for example. Or we can consider more complicated knot complement, for example, or the manifold obtained by gluing this tetrahedron, etc. Well, of course, it's easy to say that there should be some 3D series and a 3D supersymmetric series, and then there's some quantity should be the same. But of course, the difficult part is to identify precisely the Fitch quantity on this side is the same as precisely the Fitch quantity on that side. And also, precisely the Fitch theory corresponds to Fitch 3 manifold, and that's the non-trivial part. And first of all, I'm going to say that it's going to be the 3D partition function. So I said that there is a 3D partition function here. It's a 3D partition function on S3. This is a 3D n equal 2 series, and let's compute a partition function S3. And I want to construct the theory TM such that it's the same as SR to R Chan Simons partition function on M. So this is going to be the statement. And if you like, you can try to compute, consider different quantities like a supercomponent index in this side, and then the question still remains what are going to be the corresponding quantities on this side. But let me focus on this particular example.
Are there any restrictions on
the type of 6-manifold which you consider a theory on? Well, actually, there can be any. Some of the things I'm going to say can be a little bit tricky in 6D. For example, I said that these can have boundaries, like a Riemann surface time interval. But from purely 6D viewpoint, I think it's fair to say that what the meaning of the boundary is not too clear. I mean, if you have M2, for example, you can end on M5, but maybe M5 has gone off to infinity. Oh, actually, this side is always S4. And this side, you won't have a completely general functional Riemann size. And the similar, you have the geometry here is going to be fixed. It's just S3. But we are going to have manifolds. Eh? And I hope to explain what are these going to be. But this.
The boundary of M, in some sense.
Sorry?
You read this from sense analogies.
Yeah, so boundaries are the counterpart of that. So, and that's actually a very good point. So I'm going to try to advocate. I'm going to advocate that point actually. So, of course, as I was repeating, the question is how to identify the TM, and we need to. If you start from nowhere, then we are going to. I have no idea what to proceed. So the good strategy is to learn from this 4D n equal 2 series, and what we did for that. And in that case, recall the 4D n equal, for this Gyotta story. And there you have a certain Riemann surface. For example, let's see. You start with the Riemann surface. And say force function sphere, for example, here. Okay, so this is a Riemann surface. It's four functions, so this is double count. And then what we can do is to consider the quantity composition of this, so-called. In other words, this just vary the complex structure of this force function sphere, and we have a certain cylindrical region inside. And then we can decompose this into three parts. The first, this part and that part. So this part is a three function sphere, it's called a trinium. And this part is a cylinder. And there's another trinium. And the basic idea of the video is that whenever you have the cylinder, we have SU2. I'm talking about SU2 gauge case. Gauge group is SU2. SU2 gauge factors. And it's going to be, in the case of SU2, it's a tri-fundamental. And then there are these S1s here. And each of these S1 correspond to Freiberg SU2 gauge symmetries. And when we say that when we group these two trinions together, there are two SU2s. If you don't have this cylinder, there are two S1s here and there. So they are SU2 times SU2 global symmetries. And we are going to gauge the diagonal part of that. That's the geometrical meaning for the concatenating the cylinders to trinions. So now the question is what happens for the three-manifold case? And we are going to try to imitate this. Although, actually, there are going to be crucial differences. So this is not a complete analogy, and then there are a lot of differences I warn you. But there are certain similar stories you can consider. So first of all, in this case, the one crucial ingredient is a cylinder. Well, in this case, the cylinder is a two-manifold, and it's just a circle times an interval. But now, if you want to study the three manifolds, so why not generalize this to higher dimensions? So we start from the Lehmann surface and times an interval. And for the moment, let's not talk about punctures here. And then we have the Lehmann surface. And then there is just an interval, 0, 0, 1. And this obviously has boundaries. And the question is, what's the thing corresponding to that? And so let me call this sigma. And the whole thing M is sigma times interval. And as I said, I'm going to use the old 4D, 2D correspondence. So I'm going to translate each of these into the supersymmetric Gaussian language. And of course, this, if you have sigma, the level of sum in this ADT story is that it should correspond to 4D n equal 2 series, 4D2 n equal SCFT. And since there are two boundaries, we have 4D n equal 2 SCFT. Okay, and there should be something in the middle corresponding to the three manifold. And the proposal is that it should be a certain domain wall which divides this. So you can start from 4D series on R3, 1 and put a non-trivial domain wall R2, 1 inside it, which divides the space into the right-hand side and the left-hand side. And then if on the divided, well, this is, so this is the domain wall. And well, the question, of course, is what kind of domain wall we consider. And I'm going to consider something called a duality domain wall. So this 4D n equal 2 SCFT has a complexified gauge coupling, 4 pi I divided by g squared. Complexified gauge coupling. And this is going to be the complex structure of the Lehmann surface. So the gauge coupling is translated into complex structure. That's the Gauss dictionary, which I'm introducing now. And there's another ingredient is that there is an element of S duality group which is identified with the element of the mapping cross group. Well, mapping cross group is a diffeomorphism of the Lehmann surface which is not continuously connected to an entity. So it's a discrete gauge, discrete transformation on the Lehmann surface. Which in the case of, say, if this is just a torus, again, it's just for this is just PSL2Z symmetry for the n equal 4 theory, and that's mapping cross group on the torus. So it's a generalization of that. And now, the crucial ingredient is this element of mapping cross group. And this element of the mapping cross group can play a role in this story, because when I start from here, and I want to, so in order to consider some 3D theory here, we need to put some appropriate boundary conditions here. If you want to use the similar story to this, we need a Pons decomposition of the Lehmann surface here. But the Pons decomposition here and there can be different. So that's only represented by an action of mapping cross group. There can be something non-trivial in the middle. And that's what I'm like, some element of mapping cross group. In other words, if you want to, for example, you can try to close this up to make the interval into a circle. So then it's going to be the Lehmann surface times the circle, but we can add a non-trivial twist along the circle to make the three manifold more non-trivial. And that's going to be here. And correspondingly, there is something here which is specified as an element of the S-duality group, and that's the duality domain wall. And the meaning of the duality domain wall is the follows. So I start in the value of the complexity coupling tau and phi of tau here. So this is theta angle and the gauge coupling. So let me forget about the theta angle for the moment, and then it's just the gauge coupling. So the gauge coupling constant jumps here by an element of phi. So this is like a Jones domain wall, and so there is something non-trivial here, and so there is some 3D theory which couples to this 4D n equal 2 series. There are a lot of gauge degrees of freedom here, and they couple to 3D series. And in general, if you can, after taking the duality, et cetera, you can show that you can decouple the 40 degrees of freedom. So you can regard this 3D n equals 2 series as its own series. And in particular, you can consider half VPS domain wall such that the number of supersymmetry here is reduced from half as opposed to this here. So we have 3D n equal 2 theory. And so the proposal is that these two should correspond. In other words, let me say that again, that three manifold is now Riemann surface times an interval, but with a twist by an action of the mapping cross group. And then this corresponds to domain wall theory. Where the domain wall theory is specified by sigma times phi, both of these. So first sigma defines this 4D n equal 2 SCFT. But it defines it because we can compactify the 6D theory on that. And we have a specific 4D n equal 2 theory. And by adding this extra ingredient, we can construct the duality domain wall inside. And then these are the 3D theories. So this is 3D Chan-Simons. And then since we, but this is a, so this is another specific case where M is, takes a particular case. So when this M takes this particular case, this is the proposal. So I have a 3D Chan-Simon theory so I can compute a quantity. And also this TM is defined as this domain wall theory and I can compute it. And it's a non-trivial task to compute both of these quantities and then try to see if it doesn't match.
You didn't explain why it's Chan-Simon
here. Oh, okay, yeah, right. So sorry, yeah. That's right. So it's so far it's just a 3D. Yeah. Okay. So sure. I'm coming to that. So far it's just a 3D theory. 3D theory. So I need to explain why it's a Chan-Simon theory. But anyway. So the question is why is this? So the problem I need to add here that this 3D theory is defined as the domain wall. Domain wall theory. And then another question is what's the relation here is? And then the answer is that this 2D theory is the boundary theory of this Chan-Simon theory. So what does it mean? Well, so first of all, again, we start from this AGT type correspondence. So the AGT type story tells us that what kind of theory which lives on the Riemann surface. And so I said that there's a Riemann surface and times interval, but there's going to be a Liouville theory. Which lives on the Riemann surface. And another question is whether we can lift this Liouville theory to one dimensions higher. And the answer is that this is going to be the Chan-Simon theory, SL to R. Chan-Simon theory. Well, so let me explain why these things are related. And of course, the complete analysis requires careful analysis of the quantization of this Chan-Simon theory and careful analysis of the boundary condition, etc. But maybe probably the simplest way of explaining that is that the classically, the Liouville fields, so this Liouville field. The origin of this Liouville is actually from the complex structure deformation. On the Riemann surface. I mean, there's a uniformization story of this complex, but we are talking about the basically the metric on this Riemann surface. And then there is a uniformization theory in mathematics which says that these complex structure metrics are conformal to the standard, say, sphere matrix up to a conformal factor. And then the condition that this conformal factor satisfies this, the complete matrix satisfies this, the condition that the curvature is negative constant is exactly the same as the Liouville equation. That's how Liouville comes about. So the Liouville theory comes from this complex deformation, the matrix on the Riemann surface. And so, in particular, it's described by the Zweibeins, since it's a metric on a two-dimensional manifold. Or, and also we can add the spin connection. And we can regard these as independent degrees of freedom. But of course, then you have to put some in condition constraints that, like for example, I can be getting signs, some certain signs wrong. Okay, it doesn't work. There are some trivial equations for which defines this spin connection. So using this equation, I can eliminate these spin connections. But let's regard the spin connections independent degrees of freedom. And then we can also write down the equation like E plus E minus equals zero, where this says that curvature is constant negative. Because I forgot to say that I consider the case of the Riemann surface where the character of the Euler character of this Riemann surface is negative. So it's going to be hyperbolic, 2D hyperbolic going forward. And then these equations can now be elegantly written in terms of E plus E. We can write, prepare a 2x2 matrix by E minus, omega, if I think I'm gonna, I hope it's, well, the conventions can vary, but well, for example, I can define from these three ingredients, I can define a 2x2 matrix here. And then these three equations are now the equation that these F equal to zero, the gauge field strength for this gauge connection is zero. So what I'm saying is that here is that, so the Liouville theory is about the complex structure deformation of the Riemann surface. And actually, a particular mathematically connected component, a particular connected component of the moduli space of the Riemann surface here is the same as the moduli space of flat connections, SL2R flat connections. And that's where we have this SL2R Chan Simons theory comes about, because if you talk about the classical Chan Simons theory, the only thing you have is that about flat connections, which is exactly the same as the one which appears here.
Both
statements are completely correct to say. But the point is that we are choosing different boundary conditions. So the thing is that if you start on 3D transform, SL2R transform, and use one particular set of boundary conditions, you have SL2R with Zimino Whittemore.
Yeah, that's what I don't see here. I don't see your boundary conditions and how they differ from those which give you a set of...
I can try to go a little bit more detail about it. I want to stay close to here. When we do the, quantization, well, probably we can start here. We can use it here for temporary. And what we can do is to, so we need to talk about the quantization of this Chan Simons theory, for example. And then we have to choose which the set of coordinates as opposed to momentum. That's the choice of polarization. And we have to choose that in any quantization. And then the degrees of freedom we have first of all, canonical quantization. So you start on Riemann surface, regard this as time, and you're going to have a Hilbert space on this Riemann surface. And let me denote the coordinates of this Riemann surface by z and z bar. And then we have the independent degrees of freedoms are a, z, and a, z bar. And a runs from 1 to 3, which is the dimension of SL2R. So these are the independent degrees of freedom. And so we have to choose 3 out of these. And the natural choice 1, which is standard in the literature, we just take this part, holomorphic part. So this is known as a holomorphic quantization.
This gives you the Zimino.
Yes, exactly. So, another choice is this choice, EZ plus EZ bar, maybe minus, but anyway. I hope it's correct, but anyway. I choose a different 3D code. I mean, these omegas and E's are just the omegas here. So it looks like a little bit strange combination, but we can nevertheless do the quantization here. And of course, the wave function is going to depend on these three sets of parameters, for example. What we can do is that, first of all, we can write down the quantum version of the statement that it's a flat connection, namely this F applied to as an operator applied to this wave function is equal to zero. And we write out everything in terms of the three components. And then what we can do is that, first of all, show that we can trivially solve with respect to this omega. But which is not surprising because originally these omegas are not independent degrees of freedom because they are determined from E plus and E minus. And actually this wave function has a Gaussian dependence with respect to omega. So they are not too important. And then there are two things remain, but of course there are gauge degrees of freedom. Namely, we can change the coordinates, and then there are still gauge degrees of freedom, which acts on this E plus E bar. And so if you can write, say, the E plus is equal to E phi, or maybe I'm getting to dz bar, for example, E minus E phi dz bar plus mu bar dz. I hope people can see. You can write down, you can switch the other combination phi and mu. And depending on depending on preference, you can choose to retain either one of these. And this phi, for example, is going to be the Liouville field corresponding to that. So the statement is subtle. Thank you for bringing this to attention because this, as I said, this gauge Chanson theory is a gauge theory. So you have to, first of all, we quantize the theory using this epsilon E plus E minus omega as independent degrees of freedom, and then you have to impose some gauge symmetry. So the more correct statement is that the gauge independent part of the partition function on this manifold is captured by Liouville theory. Because as a boundary condition, there are some other things which are here. But anyway, maybe things are becoming a little bit technical. So let me move on. But anyway, so simply put, the reason why these theories are related to that, this 2D Liouville theory, well, in this case, I'm talking about AGT, so we have Liouville theory, is the theory on the boundary of the Chanson-Simons theory. So schematically written, the partition function if you look at this figure, it's easy to tell that partition function of this thing, Riemann surface times, it's going to be something like L phi hat, where this L's are the parameters, set of parameters which specify the boundary conditions. Actually, these L's are related to the complex structure deformation of Riemann surface, which is related to these stories here. But some details are not too important here. And then this partition function of the Chanson-Simons theory can be written here in this form. For us, if you start from the partition function, let's see. So, well, you have some quantities here. And then the statement is that this is going to be the same. The statement I wrote here, which I deleted, sorry. Oh, it's actually remains. Oh, just a half remains. So this partition function equals partition function. In this case, so this is going to be the right-hand side of partition function of Chanson-Simons theory. And this is going to be the partition function of 3D domain wall theory. And it should have a set of parameters, which I write L and N prime. So what are these parameters? In other words, what are the parameter identifications? So the parameter identifications are the followers. And the parameter identification is the non-trivial part, because some geometrical information is now found into the parameters inside the Lagrangian and vice versa. So let's see which part. Let's write 3D n equal 2 theory here. 3D Chanson-Simons, SL to R Chanson-Simons theory here. And first of all, but I forgot to say one thing. So when I say this, we can define what the Chanson-Simons theory. One obvious question is that Chanson-Simons theory has one parameter, which is the level. So what's the counterpart of that in this part, in this story? And it's going to be the B squashing parameter, where you are deforming S3 to be S3B, which is defined by Z1 squared V inverse D2 squared equals to 1. So this is the definition of S3B, and there's a one parameter for that. And actually, you can do the localization computation for S3B as well. And this is the same parameter B, which appeared in the introductory part of my talk, but maybe people don't remember. But anyway, there is the parameter, one parameter deformation on this side as well. So this is geometrical. This is the parameter of the Lagrangian, which is why it's non-trivial. And then there are a set of parameters, L and L prime, which are the boundary conditions. Boundary conditions. And this corresponds to mass parameters or FI parameters. Of the 3D n equals 2 theory. It seems that I don't have the time to talk about explicit matter quantities, et cetera, but these are the specific 3D theories, so it's easy to imagine that there are mass and FI parameters for these series. So I use the same notation, n and n prime. And then also, I was talking about this phi, which is the most, let's see, first of all, this sigma. Sigma defines for the n equals 2 series. And, well, there's the same sigma here, which is in the part of the definition, the same sigma which appears there. And also there is phi, the element of the mapping cross group. And together with these, these informations, I can construct three manifolds with boundary conditions. Remember that these L and L primes are the boundary condition which we placed there. And here on this side, as I note, this phi is an element of SD duality group. And combining these ingredients, we defined a 3D n equal 2 theory as a domain wall theory. So for example, these data are geometrical. They are the data defining the theory, et cetera. So but these are the parameter identifications. And then there are several things, several concrete things. Well, so far, I just talked about some general line of arguments. But what I'm saying is actually can be derived from AGT in together with a little bit of assumptions. In particular, this 2D Liouville theory mathematically can be formulated as a so-called Teichmuller theory, the theory of complex surface deformation on the Riemann surface, which is a little bit sometimes useful because it's formulated mathematically. And using that formalism, I can give a general argument why the equivalence of partition functions are the same. And well, in the remaining 5 minutes, I'm going to tell you.
How do you go from a
short
to a three?
Oh, actually, well, in this story, oh.
If you derive it from there.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. That's the story of David and Jama and Nadav. And so, so I didn't explain that, but probably, but in the remaining minute, let me explain that. So maybe the connection of these two AGT is not completely clear, maybe. Let me explain again. So a little bit with a slightly different viewpoint. So in AGT, we start from the partition function for the n equal 2 series on S4. Okay, and then very schematically, I would like this is the integral of the square root of Z necros of and Z necros of R. This inner product means the integrate of the Coulomb branch parameters. And then this is going to be related to the F, the conform box. Again, the correlation function in the Liouville theory, the vertex operators in the Liouville theory. And it factorizes it into the product of conform box. And we integrate over. Maybe some people would like to see the parameters. So we are going to integrate over Coulomb branch parameters. And these are integrating over internal momentum, Liouville momentum. So this was the story of AGT. Basically, there are north pole contributions, south pole contributions, if you do the localization. And we can talk about the certain generalization where there is no color. Okay, so let me try to use the wavy line here. We can put some non-trivial domain wall theory, duality wall here. So it's an extra, we are changing the theory. Another way of saying that the complex structure, I was explaining this duality wall in terms of flat space and the duality flat, but yeah, that's right. Because, if you do the localization, everything is done. You only need the local information. So you can do this. And then it's natural to guess that the structure should be Z3D, where Z3D is a potential function of this 3D theory. And, well, maybe I can write them more chemical parameters. There are some parameters, A and A primes, where these A and A primes are actually the same as L and L primes, which appear there. So they are going to be mass and FI parameters. And the reason these parameters appear is that these mass and FI parameters are defined as a particular component of the vector superfield. In other words, if you have gauge symmetry in the 3D theory, and you can try to weakly gauge it by degrading the background, by introducing background vector superfield coupling to that global symmetry. And then we can gauge it. And then if you gauge it, then these mass and parameters, FI parameters, are now promoted to dynamical fields which are the scalars and the scalars of vector multiplet. And then these are the parameters. And similarly, we can talk about what's the natural question is, what are the counterpart of that? And schematically, it's going to be the action of the mapping cross group here. In other words, you can try to put on similar indices here. And the meaning of this F hat is that it represents the action of the conformal block, mapping cross group on the conformal block. For the mean, probably I'm going to write down the notation. But there are external momentum, internal momentum, which is the same as here. And then there is a complex structure. So this is a conformal block. But you can change this to phi of tau. And then try to see what kind of quantities we have here on this side. And then there are some major factors coming here, but this is going to be represented by a matrix, infinite dimensional matrix. So this is the same as this one. And if you compare these ingredients, it's natural to guess that, conjecture that these two ingredients are the same. And this is what conjectured by Ruka, Gaiotto, and Gomez. And so by comparing these, it's natural to see that this 3D partition function on S3 is the same as this one. And then this structure is, we have to change the basis actually, but this structure is very similar to the structure which you have here.
But there you were thinking in terms of 3D manifold. I thought there you think of L as a state in Liouville and phi hat acting on that, no?
Let's see. So, I mean, this itself is a 3D theory, but we are building the canonical quantization. So the states are defined on the Hilbert space, which is the slice where constant time slice of the 3 manifold.
Does L correspond to a state in a Liouville theory or not?
Yes, it corresponds to the state.
So phi hat, I can think of acting as a state, as an iterator acting on Liouville state?
Yes.
But it's not quite the same. Are you saying it's the same statement as...
Yes, so, there's a Hilbert space of conformal blocks, and one very non-trivial statement that these L's, which I wrote schematically, are the complete set in the Hilbert space of conformal blocks. That's a non-trivial statement.
Basis.
Yes. More concrete statement is that forget about external momentum, that there are two parameters, alpha and tau. And this conformal block can be written as alpha in the product and two states, alpha and tau. But this one, I wrote L, sorry for the notation, but they are the same. And so there are two different bases, but each of them spans a complete set. And actually, this state L is a very good state, which is orthogonal to each other with respect to certain measure.
So L is essentially Liouville momentum?
Yes, Liouville momentum, yes.
So what's the definition of the Hilbert space?
Oh, let's say, I mean, the Hilbert space on this Liouville side?
Yeah.
So it's going to be the Hilbert space of conformal blocks. Or if you like a more geometrical formulation, it's a Hilbert space coming from the quantum Tai-Hilbert theory. In other words, Tai-Hilbert theory is a manifold with a symplectic manifold. So it has a symplectic form. So you can do the standard canonical quantizations and then obtain a certain Hilbert space. And so there is a conjecture that the Tai-Hilbert Hilbert space is the same as the Liouville Hilbert space. So if you believe in that, you can use both formulations.
Usually, I mean, it's in two, assuming a Wharton model, I mean, usually you have the Hilbert space of conformal block of a Wharton model, which is finite dimension.
Okay.
So how about in this case?
Oh, okay. So in this case, probably I should have, thank you for that, bringing that. So it's an infinite dimensional Hilbert space. And it's the same in both in supersymmetric side and non-supersymmetric side. So on the supersymmetric side, I was talking about this partition function, Z3D, and I didn't have time to write down the explicit expression, etc. But it's written as an integral. Integral because if you do the saddle point analysis here, there is an integral over the scalars and the vector multiplet. There are the saddle, continuous saddle points you have to integrate. And that corresponds to the integral here in this DBO. DBO momentum is continuous here, so there is an integral as well. And also that's the same in Chan-Simons theory as well. Because the difference is you need to keep in mind that we have SL to R Chan-Simons theory. So which is the analytic continuation of the usual SL2. And you know, and if you talk about the representation theory of SL to R, for example, there are infinite dimensional representations spanned by a continuous parameter. And this L state L is such a state, or such a continuous state.
Okay, and one more question. So is it SL2R, right?
Yes.
And then you just mix SR2R and SR2C, and then you just take only holomorphic form.
But I'll say that in this story, it's just SR2R. I think it's because, for example, one thing I was explaining around here is that the modular space of Tychimera space, well, the modular space of complex structure deformation of Riemann surface is the same as flat PSR2R flat connection. That's a mathematical statement. And also there is a corresponding DL size which is chosen in here, for example. In the matrix model computation, for example, there is an integral, but you integrate over the real number, because we are integrating with scalars and vector multiplet, which is a real number. So I think we are definitely choosing the real strides. But if you want to go to SL2C, probably, first of all, we can talk about analytic continuation, and for some of the quantities, SL2, it doesn't really matter if we have SL2R, SL2C, because maybe quick explanation is that if you have SL2C Chan-Simons theory, the Lagrangian splits into the holomorphic part plus anti-holomorphic part. So unless you talk about some instanton contribution, etc., but if you focus on the expansion around the classical flat connection, then these answers don't match. And also if you want to, we can start from 3D n equal 2 theory and dimensionally reduce to 2D 2,2 theories, for example. And then the scalars in the vector model will get complexified, so we have something complex. And I think that, and in that context, it's more natural to start with the SL to RC flat connections.
You mean M is what, R2 or something?
Okay, so yeah, I'm talking about compactation on the supersymmetric compactation S3.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay, so let me actually, that itself is an interesting story, so let me explain why I'm completing my stuff where to write. Let's see. Maybe I use here. But let me spend 3 minutes for that. So you have a 3D partition function on S3B, where S3B was defined somewhere there, here. And then take the limit where B goes to zero. And you can show that S3D becomes R2 times small S1, where the size of this S1 becomes very, very small. So by formally taking this limit, we have 2D 2,0 theory, 2,2 theory on R2. And then, actually, if you talk about the parameter identifications, these B and Ks are inversely proportional to each other. So B goes to 0 corresponds to K goes to infinity. So this is Chan-Simons partition function on M, but it goes to the semi-classical limit where k goes to infinity. And it's natural to imagine that the semi-classical leading contribution is the Chan-Simons invariant of the three-manifold, well, because Chan-Simons invariant is just an integral of the Chan-Simons form on the three-manifold. And if you talk about, as I was saying, here in this context, it's natural to complexify things, and we have the volume of the three-manifold. And then for hyperbolic manifold, these are the crucial, well, very interesting invariants mathematically. They are very concrete numbers, which have a lot of meanings in number theory, for example. And there are different ways to compute it. And we explicitly start from here and then show that it produces the correct hyperbolic volume of the three manifold, which is another check of this equality. And also, maybe I should mention that there is also connection with integral models, because in this recent story about necroassociativity, if you have 2D 2,0 theory, there is a quantum integrable models corresponding to that. And so there will be the deformation XXZ models and their deformations. And so I'm trying to work on it in that first part three. And so there are also interesting connections to integral models. And finally, I was talking about the case where the three manifold is just a Riemann surface times an interval, and I didn't talk about the complete general case. But actually, if you want to obtain more general three manifold, there is an operation that means this Riemann surface times interval has a boundary, but there is an operation of attaching something to the boundary called a Hundle body. And that, if you can do that, you can actually generate any three manifold. So there should be an operation of gaussian operation of closing off the boundary, incorporating the Hundle bodies. And I think it's an interesting problem, and Patry did that in the Teichmuir theory. But it's still a work in progress. Okay, thank you. Maybe I should finish. Let me finish here. Thank you.
Do you know what is the theory for the Hundle body?
Sorry?
Do you know what is the theory?
Oh, for the Hundle body. The answer is no, unfortunately. But there are certain speculations. For example, one speculation I made first is that, for example, please look at this structure for Fitch Hansen for the gaussian theory. So it has 3D something, something. And it's somewhat reminiscent of this, of the Haygarth splitting story. In other words, there is something called a Hundle body here. There's an action, something corresponds to the action of mapping cross group in the middle, and it calls. So natural speculation I have at the time is that maybe this Nekrasov partition function is somehow connected to this Hundle bodies in the general thermal theory. But it's a pure wild speculation. And I have a more technical way of using Hundle. Instead of saying that we have a Hundle bodies, we attach Hundle bodies, we can say that so let's see. So if you start from Riemann surface times interval, for example, there are boundary Riemann surface, and then there are triangulations of that. But then there's operation of crushing the boundary of Riemann surface and by closing off. Instead of saying that we are touching something, you can crush, we can glue the faces of the Riemann surface. And then that operation can be realized in the Teichmuir theory, or more in the like a Liouville theory. So I have started from general thermal theory and come to Liouville theory, but haven't figured out the meaning of gauge theory yet. It's actually just setting one of these Liouville momentum to a very particular value. It's a special value.
Actually,
the more correct statement is the force. So these are the parameters, but we can go to a different basis. And let me call that parameter x, for example. So these are going to be the focal coordinates in Teichmuir theory, for example. And then the operation which I referred to, that let me set one of the parameters x to be pi over 2 or something. And if you want to use this language, there is a non-trivial, highly non-trivial transformation of variables between this and that. But it should be the transformation is already known, so we just have to plug in and try to see what the meaning of that, etc. Pi over 2, roughly speaking, is like you have a three manifold, and the three manifold can be grouped from tetrahedron, so they are dihedral angles between faces. And we say that, for example, the faces coincide, which is like the sum of the angles summing up pi or something. Right? So it just says that some of the faces of the tetrahedron coincide. And that's the condition that these parameters are pi over 2. And I wanted to see the meaning of it in this language. And that would be interesting. And if it's going to be related to this Nekrasov, that would be much more interesting. But there could be some more modest interpretations in gauge theory. Thank you.